It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
It would help if I had my mic on, right? You'd think I just started doing this. Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. My name is Carl Lenore. We have a really important show today. You know, every year we have a show that I think is possibly the most important. A couple years ago, it was Dr. Malin Watvey on his book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes. A Darwinian look at diabetes. Very, very interesting book. This year, I believe that this is possibly the most important interview that I'll do all year. Lucky we snuck it in. What's making our children sick? Anybody who's listened to more than two of my shows knows that I always talk about the failing health of our young population and its indicativeness on where we are going as far as really wiping ourselves off the planet slowly. Young children, I'm talking about 6, 8, 10, 12 years old are being diagnosed with lymphoma, with colon cancer, with type 2 diabetes. The CDC had to add that one. I mean, you have kids that are 6 years old. They have diabetes mellitus. I mean, these are diseases attributed to the elderly, the older population. Children are getting these diseases and they're dying from them. Cancer rates in children are on the rise. Over 16,000 children this year will be diagnosed with a brand new cancer. That's not counting the kids who come back in the second go around and the third go around. I mean, it's startling. And the reality is that we become numb to it. We almost don't even, it doesn't, when you hear that a child has cancer today or has heart disease, we have children, number two reason for dying today in children is heart disease. Heart disease, atherosclerotic plaque, weakening of the muscles of the heart from inactivity and obesity combined. We are not good stewards at all if we let this happen to our children. No one's talking about it, really, except my next two guests, perhaps, who have just written a book called What's Making Our Children Sick, and that's Dr. Michelle Perot and Dr. Vincent Adams, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
So I just did a show the other day with also someone who is in the same, publishing house as you, Miriam Kalyan. And she, you know, I said, why is it always mothers that have to, it's always mothers that go beyond the call of duty. They ignore what the doctors say. They find a way to save their child. And it seems that it's only ever mothers who are coming up and saying, our children are sick and dying. What are we going to do about this? I mean, it seems like the women in the population are the ones that are really paying attention to this. I guess the old adage that, you know, men go off to work and they don't pay attention to the kids. I don't know if that's really it. It's really shocking to me. As a Dr. Perot, you are a pediatrician, correct?
I am.
How long have you been a pediatrician now?
Carl, I'm old. 37 years, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And so, in 37 years, how has your opinion of the process changed?
This is a good question because I speak to this a lot. During my almost four decades of practicing medicine, I've seen such a horrific decline in the health of our children that it compelled me to write this book with Dr. Adams to go over this, and especially in the past 15 to 20 years, it was rapid. And I felt that our children were a science experiment within themselves. So, yes, I've seen it within my own career and very accelerated in the past 10 to really 15 years.
Now there are things listed on this on the cover, and I did learn about you through Howard Vlieger, by the way.
Howard,
everybody loves Howard. Howard is a disciple of the soil. He was the first person who really brought me to the table and explained what glyphosate was doing to us. I think that, and Dr. Adams, you can answer this question if you want to jump in here. But I think that everybody's looking for the silver bullet. They want to believe it's just vaccines. They want to believe it's just this. But isn't the reality that what's happening to children today is actually the perfect storm of assault on their immune system, on their physiology, on everything?
Absolutely. That's a great way to describe it. And it's how we describe it in the book. It's not as if there's one thing that we can point to that's causing all these problems. But if you start with something as basic as the gut, and then you go from what is the health of our gut, how are our kids' guts being compromised, how is that affecting all systems of the body, creating lots of chronic problems? But then you back up and you say, well, what's causing the gut problems? And you start with the basic ingredient that we put into our body 3 times a day, 2 times a day, however often we eat. And you go to food. So the question of what kind of foods we're eating is a really important one. And we're not the first to talk about this. There are many people who are writing about the poor quality of the food that has been a product of the industrialization of food, which has a very long history. But folks like Michael Pollan have written about the problem of packaged foods and the problem of too many fats. I mean, doctors know about these problems, but what's been little studied and what we tried to really hone in on in the book, not as the only cause, but as a major source of the problems, is the quality of food as a result of genetic modification of the foods. And the basic problem that comes from that, having to do with the increase in use of certain kinds of herbicides, especially glyphosate, mm-hmm. and the unknown effects that those may be having on our guts. And what we do is we try to trace together the science on gut health, leaky gut, dysbiosis, and put those pieces of the puzzle together to explain that this is worth looking at more. And we also then back up and look at the other elements of the perfect storm, which have to do with the fact that a lot of these foods have never been tested on humans. They fell through the cracks of the regulatory agencies. We have a medical system that has not paid enough attention to food. And we have this in this context of kids who are living in increasingly toxic environments from other things that have to do with chemicals in the environment, PCBs, phthalates, parabens. But again, we focus on the food component in the book.
Yeah, and glyphosate is a big problem today. And people, I think a lot of people are getting tired of hearing about glyphosate because it's like, okay, we know that it's bad for us, but what do we do about it? How do you get out of its way? That's the problem. It's virtually impossible to get out of the way of glyphosate. They're finding glyphosate in breast milk. They're finding glyphosate everywhere. The supposed half-life, didn't work out that way. It seems to have an ability to store itself. And one of the most damning things about glyphosate, glyphosate was actually, there's a patent that Monsanto holds to mix glyphosate with amoxicillin as an antibiotic. And so when I tell people, I say, glyphosate is actually antimicrobial. The only difference between an antimicrobial and antibiotic is the dose and duration of exposure. But if you're exposed to little amounts every single day in 16 different things that you consume, and you already know what the problem with taking antibiotics too frequently. We did that interview about missing microbes. That was a great book. It's like you're subjecting your children to low dose antibiotics every single day when you knowingly put food in their mouths that has residual amounts of glyphosate in it. And people are shocked when they hear this. They say, "Well, no, it does the same thing that antibiotics do." So, what do you tell parents who go, okay, how do I get the glyphosate out of my life?
Carl, this is a good question. I answer this question every single day. I just spoke to a desperate family yesterday addressing the same question. And you're right. Glyphosate was patented as an antimicrobial, an antibiotic, which means it has an effect on the microbiome. What your listeners might not know is that it's never been studied, the effects of glyphosate on the human microbiome. As far as I know, as of today, there was only one study actually looking at that in chickens, done in Germany. A lot of our studies come from Europe because we're not allowed to often study this stuff here in the U.S., and we can go into that a bit later. But I want to answer your question, what do you tell parents? You're right. Glyphosate is ubiquitous. It's the main pesticide or herbicide in Roundup and many, many other formulations. I think last check there were over 700 formulations in the world with glyphosate in it. So it is everywhere. It's in our water, our air, the breast milk, and it's also in baby formula, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a little piggyback to what Dr. Adams was talking about before, we eat 2-3 times a day. Me, I'm more like 6, but babies eat every 2 hours. So they're drinking that stuff every 2 hours with glyphosate in their formula. But so this is what we tell parents. We say, okay, parents, you have to eat organic. And I don't know any other solution. And usually it's the dads. I'm not coming down hard on the dads on the show today, but it's often the dads will say, whoa, this stuff is too expensive. And we say, let's look at the money. I've actually devised a plan with a preschool once so that they could eat organic food, and it came out less. But families spend, on non-organic food. The thing is somebody needs to get in the kitchen because we can't eat packaged foods. 85% of packaged foods have either GM food in it or pesticides. So someone's got to cook, right? Someone's got to get back in the kitchen, and we have to eat organic. It's the only way.
Have you seen the work, I'm going to forget his name now. He's been on the show a couple times. But anyway, so glyphosate is a synthetic form of glycine. And it incorporates itself into tissue more readily than glycine, than the amino acid glycine. And one of the big problems with glyphosate right now that is just starting to come to the forefront is once it's incorporated into tissue, your body doesn't have the garbage disposal system to get rid of it. So it bioaccumulates, and it's leading to something called amyloidosis. And we're seeing more and more amyloidosis. So we all learned the word amyloid plaque when we start talking about Alzheimer's disease. And there's really a reason that there's amyloid in your brain. It's part of the memory consolidation processing system, but having overaccumulation and it gets clumpy and it sticks to things, that's not good. But now we're starting to see heart failure due to amyloidosis of tissue. Relatively new. We're seeing it in kidneys as well now. And what we're starting to understand, Dr. Anthony Samsel came on the show and explained that we're going to start seeing more and more amyloidosis of tissue, especially as children get exposed to it at younger ages. Those of us who were born in the 50s, we're getting exposed to it late in life. But incorporating it into a child that is in the formative years and having it incorporate itself into tissue, we have a host of diseases that we don't have words for and names for yet that are going to come out 50 years from now because of this synthetic glycine being incorporated into tissue. It's scary. Go ahead,
so,
I'm sorry.
No, pardon me, and pardon me for that beeping. So, Carl, this is a very interesting question. Glycine is an amino acid that's very common throughout our bodies. And glycine is the amino acid, which is a building block of protein that's in glyphosate. There are researchers, Dr. Samsel, you mentioned, Dr. Seneff, is also involved, who feel that there might be a substitution happening, and that's what you're talking about. It's not been studied. We don't know that effect of glycine and glyphosate and how that interacts. That glycine, that amino acid, that building block of collagen, for example, is throughout bodies and children, for example. Children are not mini adults, and they're growing at a different rate. So let's fast forward to what I see clinically. I see kids who are doughy, kids with no energy, kids who are fatigued, kids who don't go out and play. They're tired. And I've often wondered, and we've had these conversations with Dr. Seneff, could this glycine-glyphosate exchange be happening? And we suspect yes. We don't have the research. And so you should know, and you've been doing your homework, sir. I got to tell you, you are up on your stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, so when your gut is inflamed or leaky, as Dr. Adams was referring to before, it also causes leaky brain. And some kids who have an inflamed brain, and we could talk about that in a bit, when you give them glycine, the amino acid, many of them will get better. And we just wonder if that's overriding the effect of the glyphosate. And glycine is a cheap, totally affordable amino acid. So this is something even your viewers can listen to. I'm not giving medical advice here, but it's something I've used in my practice. So if you do a combination of organic food, filtered water, and maybe we treat some of these children with glycine, some of them get better. And this is something that we're aware of and that we've been looking at. I won't go into the amyloid right now. You've covered that. But, yes, this is something that we are recognizing as well.
Also, I want to just add that while we are really not entirely certain about the connection between glycine and glyphosate, there's a lot of controversy about that connection. What we do know is that glyphosate already, we know for certain that it is having an impact on the microbes in our gut.
Yeah.
We need these microbes for all kinds of things, not just digestion and breaking down foods into nutritional ingredients, for maintaining the lining of the gut so that it's not too porous. And when we don't have the proper microbes in our gut that we need in order to enhance digestion, then we're not getting the nutrition we need. So all kinds of things can go haywire. Things get into the bloodstream. The lining of the gut gets more porous than it should. And Michelle can explain more about that. But we already know that that is true. Now, when they invented glyphosate, I mean, when glyphosate was discovered many years ago in the 1970s. I mean, it was a really amazing history, actually, because the agrochemical companies that were involved with purchasing it and turning it into a broad-spectrum herbicide saw it as an alternative to a more potent and more toxic problem, which was DDT. And so it was seen as this great new alternative. And the assumption was that it wouldn't affect humans because human cells don't have this thing called the shikimate pathway.
But it turns out our microbes do.
But it turns out our microbes too. So now that we know that we're 90% microbial in our bodies, that those microbes are a key ingredient to our health, we have to start worrying about the health of our microbes. And so if we're putting into our guts things that are impacting and killing those microbes in rates that are variable and we don't understand them entirely, but we do suspect that they're probably getting rid of some of the microbes we need to have a healthy digestive system. And that's where the problems start. So even without the glycine-glyphosate debate, you can still just make a case against glyphosate on the basis of the microbes.
Absolutely.
In our gut.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about that. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the IgG-IgA pathways, immune system pathways. And so I have a niece who I suspect is starting to develop autoimmune disorders. She sleeps all the time. She talks about her knees hurting her all the time. She's too young for this. And I've talked to her mom. I've said, look, you got to get the, you know, she eats a lot of ramen noodles because, you know, they're on a budget, blah, blah, blah. And I suspect that that parents should be testing for food allergies early on to steer away. And I know that the two of you talk about this in the book. So let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Suffer from abdominal bloating. Relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy. And comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get 2 bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. I had to wait for that song to start with Amy Winehouse. It's kind of ironic, but sad. Anyway, welcome back. We're talking about a book that's now available called What's Making Our Children Sick. Every parent of a young child should read it, and every physician who is tasked with caring for children should read it, because it's unacceptable what's happening with children's health today. And there's lots of parts to it. This book isn't only, this is just part of the discussion. There's a lot more to it, but this is a very, very important part of the discussion because, as Dr. Perot points out, children eat frequently, and they are frequently ingesting things that are just making them sicker. So let's start off with Dr. Adams on this question. So IgG, IgA immune pathways are ways to test for food sensitivities. Why is this important for children today?
Yeah, so I'm going to start the answer, but then I'm going to turn it over to Michelle because she's the physician.
Okay.
So what I understand and what a lot of people don't really know is that when you go to test for food problems, doctors will generally test for the most extreme allergic response or the IgE response. And if they don't find any of those, they consider the food safe for people. But there's a smaller category of response that points to what we call food sensitivities. And those are things that we believe we should be paying more attention to. And I'm going to let Michelle explain why we have to pay more attention to them.
Please, please.
So that's, Vincent, you started that conversation perfectly. So mostly all pediatricians are not looking for these lower grade immune markers, mostly IgG, it's called immunoglobulin G, and occasionally IgA, immunoglobulin A. And what's happening is those are markers of low-grade chronic inflammation. So because children now have intestinal permeability, or also known as leaky gut, foods and other things as well, Carl, it's not just food, it could be microbes, toxins, toxicants, are crossing through our gut, which should be holding these things out into our bloodstream. Our immune system is recognizing these products, whether they're foods or toxins, as foreign invaders, and they're mounting a low-grade immune response, and this is what chronic inflammation is. This chronic inflammation that children have, and with the last time when I was working with chronically ill children, about 95% of my kids in my practice had this issue because I tested for it, and many did not, so it wasn't everyone. So when they have this low-grade chronic inflammation, that doesn't make them feel well. It can give them a host of vague, uncomfortable symptoms, everything from joint discomfort, chronic belly aches, bloating, kids don't feel well, brain fog, and overall fatigue, not to mention problems with just pooping, often constipation. I mean, if I see one more kid with constipation, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's super common. Right. So what's the unfortunate part is it's not in Western medicine. And many doctors, both pediatricians and pediatric gastroenterologists, poo-poo these findings as not being valid. I find they are, because when you change kids' diets, when you treat them with the various tools, let's say in my toolbox, their food results change as well. They get better. Well, imagine that. We treat, we change their diet. I do often have to employ various techniques of the integrative tool chest, and they get better, and you can test them. So this is a real phenomenon, under-recognized and not being looked at. It's not the only tool I use, and I use it as a guide to guide me in treatment.
So
does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. And so for the parents out there, here's kind of the degree of difference between these two immune responses, right? Anaphylactic shock, where you got to rush your kid to the hospital and get an EpiPen so that they don't asphyxiate, versus every time he eats that, he ends up having to clear his throat, and his nose is always running, and he's all stuffed up for the rest of the day. So this is that latter one is the one that we've just learned to live with. Oh, every time he eats that, he gets like that. And if you find yourself saying that to yourself about your child, those foods they shouldn't be eating. You know, Larry the Cable Guy did America a great disservice when he started doing those Prilosec commercials and saying, when the food you love doesn't love you, just take Prilosec. No, when the food you love doesn't love you, don't eat that food. It doesn't really love you.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. I mean, this is exactly the problem that we see. I studied over Michelle's shoulder, interviewed all her patients, and really got a good taste of this from my own experience. That what happens is that kids start developing these sort of low-grade immune responses, and instead of going to the obvious source, which is what foods are you eating, because there isn't a repertoire and an index for calculating how toxic bad foods really are in regular medical practice, instead they get asked to take analgesics, antihistamines, mm-hmm. steroids, and it scales up to the point where kids are taking
ADA, they're taking Ritalin. There's kids out there that, I just talked to a woman recently. Elisa works with Metagenics now, and there's a woman, she's a physician, who had a child who tested on the spectrum, and she changed his diet, and within like 2 years, he was off all the meds, and he's off the spectrum. And people, when you tell people, I know someone who cured their child of autism, if you don't say, yeah, they gave him this new drug that just came out, if you say, oh, I changed his diet, people become disinterested. Oh, yeah, I don't believe that. And it's like, are you stupid? Like, this really happened. And if it's that simple, why would you want a drug?
You know, this, Carl, I've been battling this. Vincent and I have talked about this endlessly. When we have to appreciate that medical students get a year of pharmacology in medical school. So they are bombarded with this Western way of thinking, pill for ill medicine. We go into that. We have a whole chapter on it in the book. And so, I mean, when I was training, I got 2 hours of nutrition. I think some schools now do 2 weeks of nutrition. Some schools now offer 2 weeks of integrative medicine as an elective. You don't have to take it. It is changing, but the cornerstone of therapy is still pharmaceutical. So that's all Western doctors know. And so here are these poor parents, and when they're on the net reading other things, they ask the pediatricians, they get eye rolls. Sometimes they get more than an eye roll. They get lectured. They're embarrassed. They're shamed that they're doing something wrong. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, it's often the moms, and they're labeled as helicopter moms and over-worried, neurotic, and they're labeled. And so we've got this situation where people are reading things on the net. They go to their doctors. They're not valued. They're not acknowledged. And the doctors, the Western traditional physicians, are not reading about this. Why that is? Much of it has to do with the way they're trained. And frankly, it's easier to write a prescription, I can speak to this myself, than sit down and go over somebody's nutrition.
So, and you're right. You know, people always say about doctors of chiropractic, oh, well, they can't write prescriptions. That's why they sell vitamins. And the flip side of that is doctors can write prescriptions, so they don't sell vitamins. It's like you don't abandon a good arrow in your quiver. Because it's just silly. And doctors, by and large, ignore anything that doesn't come in a little box from a pharmaceutical rep who does a lunch and learn one afternoon at the office. It's just sad.
Well, I mean, it's also, I mean, in sympathy with physicians out there who are, you know, I mean, in all honesty, they're trying to do the best they can. I mean, most doctors are trying to do a great job. And it's very hard to get people to change their behavior. It's easier to write a prescription than to tell someone they have to change what they're eating. And then families are also facing this problem of changing diets around cost effects. You know, it's really hard in some sense in our country, all across the board. It's harder to buy organic food, but many neighborhoods don't have any access to it at all, which is why we are trying to make a claim in the book that this is really a public health problem. This is not just an individual family choice problem.
I agree 1,000%. The farther you go into the inner city, the more of a food desert it is. The more
ill health. Physicians are trying to do the best they can, but the combination of not being taught much about food, beyond the idea that certain foods cause certain problems, diabetes, obesity, and then the obvious food allergy problems. Doctors aren't really taught much about the quality of foods, i.e. what is the nutritional value of the foods that we're eating.
I don't think they think it matters. My brother-in-law had a lymphoma in his stomach. He had a 4-centimeter mass, and we treated it by removing all the carbohydrates from his diet and using ginger extract, very powerful, 6 grams three times a day on an empty stomach. He had the port put in to get the chemo. When he went for his final CT scan, the mass was gone. The doctor was astounded. He was an oncologist for like 21 years. We did a show about it back, eight years ago. And so I said to him, you want to know what we did? He said, yes, please. I said, well, we cut all the sugar and carbs out. And as I was about to say, and we gave him ginger extract three times a day in very large doses, he waved his hand at me and said, that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, Carl, welcome to my world.
You know what? And I wanted to say, you snooty little SOB, you know what? You don't want to know. That's fine with me. That's good. And I just stopped talking. I was like, okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we have lots more to talk about. This is a really important book. Buy this book as Christmas gift for everybody who has children in your family. Do it for the kids. The kids deserve, you know what? When did it stop being a right to be healthy? Man, that's what it's coming down to today. And the government isn't helping us. Stay tuned.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You've heard about turmeric, and you probably use it. It's one of the most talked about health foods in America. Pure Indian Foods sources certified organic turmeric from small farmers in India. This limited edition turmeric is standardized to contain high, naturally occurring curcumin, which is the good stuff you want. It's also lab tested for heavy metals, which you want less of in your food. Psst. Don't tell too many people about it. It's limited edition. Get yours today. Go to highcurcuminturmeric.com today to learn more.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. What's making our children sick? Dr. Michelle Perot and Dr. Vincent Adams. Great book. Must have. Must see. Must read. Must buy for friends and relatives. This is a great stocking stuffer. One that could actually have an impact on somebody's life. And you know what? The parents do these things for the kids. They're doing it for themselves too. There's an old saying that I live by. You can't help somebody up a hill without getting there yourself. So this is an important book. It should be called What's Making Us Sick. But the reality is our children don't deserve this. They're in our care. We're supposed to do the best we can. And I get it. You can't do the best you can when you're being lied to through the media by big industry that is part of a conjoined twin relationship with government. They're not telling you the truth about the fact that the foods you're feeding your children are the reasons your children are sick. You know, autoimmune disorders are starting to show up in children now. And I'm talking about 12, 13, 14 years old, but they're not being called autoimmune. They're not being called fibromyalgia because they've never been seen in children before. But the kids complaining about aches and pains and joint pain and wants to sleep all day long, doesn't do anything, brain fog, can't focus, got to take them out of school. They want to put them on. It's happening, folks, and it's happening to millions of children all over the country. In the privacy of their own homes, parents aren't talking. They're not going, oh, my God, your kid too? What's going on? But the statistics followed by the CDC are mounting. Evidence that our children are getting sicker and sicker. Our lifespans, we are now third from the bottom in lifespan of any developed nation. We're moving down that hill. We have children today, the mean age of a child who will be diagnosed with cancer this year is 6 friggin' years old. How could you get it so wrong in just 6 years? I don't care if you're religious, you're not religious. Somebody put a pristine group of cells in your womb and you became the steward of them, the father too, to do everything you could to get that child delivered properly and launch them properly. This is part of our evolutionary commitment. How could you be getting it so wrong? BT corn. I know you talk about BT corn. We're talking about glyphosate, but BT corn basically has a genetic modification that implants the pesticide in the kernel of corn so that the corn borer will die when it eats it. What happens when we bioaccumulate that pesticide in our body?
Right. BT is also something we're really
you.
Worried about.
I scared you.
Not
too.
A whole lot of research on how it's affecting humans, but there is research on how it affects animals and also animal guts. And so, you know, it's just one of these things that hasn't been much studied. It's one of the big industry claims is that when they develop GM foods, they reduce the amount of pesticide overall that was needed to keep yields high. But of course, the only modification that actually does that is the use of BT, which inserts, as you said, a protein into the plant itself such that any animal who eats it will die from a type of septicemia by, get this, punching holes in the lining of the insect's gut.
Yes.
So, you know, Carl, what's interesting about that BT is there's only one human study out of Canada, another country, and even though it wasn't supposed to affect humans, yet once again, they did find circulating BT in fetal and maternal blood out of a study out of Quebec. So, no, we're not breaking it down. It is circulating. The effect on health is, well, once again, not studied. And again, a reminder to your listeners, there is no human health and genetic modified food studies, not one. We've extrapolated our data from rat studies. That's about it.
And the other thing to know is, you know, it's very interesting for me because I, like a lot of people, I think, when I first heard Michelle talk about the impact of genetically modified foods on our health, I kind of rolled my eyes. I didn't believe it.
Yes.
You know, honestly, when you go to the internet, the first layer of materials that you read and even the first layer of science that you can get to will disabuse you of the idea that there is anything to worry about.
Right.
In fact, there's a long history of scientists who have explored the impacts and come up with results that suggest that they're not safe have been attacked and discredited.
Yep.
And so what was interesting for me is when I started to really do more research on it and dig a little bit lower and meet some of the scientists who are now doing work on it, in relation to the microbiome and in relation to new studies, it became really clear that, in fact, there was what Carol Gillum has said is a whitewash on the part of industry to keep the information about this out of the hands of the public. And it's continuing that way. So it's really kind of, you know, it really doesn't speak well of industry that they have been so aggressive in their attacks on the scientists.
Well, and this is the new evolutionary selection pressure. Dr. Daniel Lieberman of Harvard has been on my show a couple times because one of the books that changed the way I look at everything in life was The Story of the Human Body, the evolutionary journey that we have taken to get where we are today. And, you know, the reality is that we've had lots of different selection pressures, most of them cultural, believe it or not. People don't get that, but, you know, but famine and things that have shaped us. The new evolutionary selection pressure is what information you choose to believe. Because that will either shorten your life and the life of your child or improve it and give you health and life longevity. So the information that people – and the problem that you so aptly point out is that industry and our government work hand in hand to shape the message, to tell people, oh, those organic guys, they're just kind of loony. They're just loony, you know, Birkenstock wearing, you know, tin hat. They wear the tin hat. They listen to Up All Night in the middle of the night. You know, they live in trailer park. They're just loony. Don't listen to them.
And the irony is that we lack any critical thinking skills anymore. We're like the buffalo. The buffalo would sit there chewing, and the buffalo next to him would fall because the guy with the 50 caliber rifle was a mile away. So they didn't hear the report. He'd see that his buddy fall, and he's bleeding from the head. But I just keep on eating.
Well, you know, Carla, you must be looking in my closet at my Birkenstocks, I got to tell you. Remember that everybody who has spoken out and asked questions, we have been framed as either Looney Tunes, anti-science, marginalization of people who question. So there is a certain fear of questioning because people have actually lost their jobs and have had their careers in tatters because they dare to ask a question, a scientific question. And so Vincent and I, when we wrote this book, we very carefully crafted it to be full of science. We went through our citations with a fine-tooth comb. We really spent years looking at the literature because of that concern that we didn't want to be labeled as anti-science. Actually, we were both very pro-science. So this book, our position is from a scientific viewpoint, and we take that firm, and we don't want to be marginalized as those people. And so this is a very important point that we want to make. And you should also know that I'm also, I run a website that I help co-found called GMOscience.org, where a bunch of folks who really want to promote the knowledge out there about genetically modified food and the pesticides associated with them on the effects of health, which has been, as you've been hammering to your audience, a neglected part. And who's been falling with the arrow, another nice metaphor, is our children, because one out of two of them now has a chronic disease. And if that doesn't shake your world up, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we really are in a perilous situation as a population from a variety of different fronts, but this one is probably the worst of all. I've said it before, we have more to fear from the collapse under the load of healthcare, caring for, you know, we've got people sick on both ends of the spectrum, the very young and the very old, and then there's some of us in the middle who are sick also, and then there's a small portion who are actually able to continue to work and be productive, and we're carrying everybody else. We can't do that for very long, and ignoring what's happening to children is going to be the biggest burden. I have a friend, my cousin, he's got a child who's autistic. You know, the kid just turned 26, I think, and they're talking about institutionalizing him because you can't handle him anymore. So this child will go into an institution at such a young age and be there probably till he's 80 because he's got good Italian genes. He's probably going to live to be 80 or 90 years old like his grandparents did. But he's going to be an institution for that major, and times this by a million.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more. Sometimes I look around, and we all have friends and relatives whose kids are sick, and they, you know, and you see what they're eating, and you just think, oh my God, you know, if only I could get this into their doctor's hands, you know, this information, because you know they don't want to take your advice. But I agree with you that we're facing a pretty big crisis in terms of morbidity in the U.S. And you know, part of it is because of the quality of the food that we eat.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so we do need to really take that seriously as a public health crisis.
Buy this book for your physician. If you have a pediatrician that you go to see, buy this book for your pediatrician. They won't be insulted. Say, I think you'll love this book. I read it, and I think it's amazing. You should read it, too. And then watch and see how they change their practice or don't change their practice. If they don't, find a new pediatrician.
Yeah, we were really trying to hit an audience of both parents and general public, but also my hope, my sincere hope, being in a medical school, is that young physicians, you know, and physicians in training will actually be really interested in figuring out how to solve these problems of chronic disorder. And so we call what we were talking about in the book a form of eco-medicine, which is making this connection between the quality of the soil and the quality of the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So what is grown in healthy soil, which can only happen if you're raising food in organic ways, you're growing food in organic ways. I mean, our soil is depleted. The use of GM foods has made this terrible situation where we're using, you know, chemical fertilizers, chemical seeds, chemical pesticides.
It's Idiocracy.
Grow our food.
Did you ever see the movie Idiocracy?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. You have to watch it this weekend and then thank me after that. One of the Wilson brothers is in it, the one with the dark hair. But the premise is our population becomes so stupid that the country is being run by the toughest thug because he can beat everybody else up. And they've destroyed the land And they can't understand why they can't go grow crops. Everyone's starving, and they're watering the soil with what is tantamount to Mountain Dew. Because the Mountain Dew company sold it that way, so they went with it, and there's nothing grows anymore. It's really that movie and the movie Wall-E should be required watching for every human being on the planet to get a grasp on where we're heading if we just keep this stupid stuff up. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the shocking research that you found as you were preparing to put this book together. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieved their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
You know, I am a firm believer in Atrantil. I got to tell you something. I take two of these capsules with every meal. And here's the interesting thing. When I first started using it, I actually had that Herkimer's reaction. And I talked to the manufacturer, and they said some people who have severe SIBO will see this. My gut has changed so dramatically. I used to, no matter what I ate, I always used to feel, let's say, not necessarily bloated, but full. I don't feel it anymore. If you, especially for the holidays, you know, if you're one of these people who gets uncomfortably bloated, you need to look at Otrantil, not just for its acute effects on the meal you're eating, but its long-term effects on changing the small intestine. It's really, really great stuff. I love it. So we're talking about the book What's Making Our Children Sick by Dr. Michelle Perot and Dr. Vincent Adams. It's a great book. Everybody needs to buy it. If you have young children in your house, you must buy it. If you see a pediatrician, you need to buy a copy for them. Give it away as a Christmas gift. I'm not kidding. You know, if you succumb to those late night commercials where they're begging you for $1.97 a day to feed some kid basically with, you know, ground rice in another country, how about starting here and saving the kids here first? You know that? You know when you get on the plane and they say put your mask on first before you put the mask on the person next to you? How about we start saving ourselves so we have the strength and fortitude and robustness to save others? Let's start with the kids in our own backyard. Let's change their health. Let them look back and go, oh my God, I didn't end up like all my friends because my mother read that book and she took corn and wheat out of my diet and I felt so much better and I didn't have ADHD anymore. And oh my God, like, let's do that now. My father used to say charity begins at home. This book is important, folks. I'm not just saying that. I mean, the foundation of our future from an evolutionary standpoint is in the children that we are creating today. And if they are weak links, man, it's a sad, sad situation. And it's our responsibility, our responsibility. Okay, so talk about some of the research that you dug into, some of the things that you found were like you were shocked by.
So this was the beginning of my healing journey for my patients as well as my own family and my own children. And it was when I read about Dr. Pusty, Arpad Pusty study, and it was 2006. And I learned about it through the work of Jeffrey Smith in a book called Seeds of Deception. I was hip to it by a group of smart moms here in Marin, and when smart moms talk to me, Carl, I listen. I read this book, and I learn about this guy's work, and he was the first scientist to be asked in Europe to evaluate genetically modified food before it was introduced in Europe. Mm. Briefly, what this guy found, he did a great study, super meticulous guy. He was Hungarian. I'm married to a Hungarian. I better put a plug in for Hungarians
right
there.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. So then what Arpad did, he looked at two groups of rats, fed them GM potatoes to one group and non-GM potatoes, genetically modified potatoes, to the other. He then looked at the rats' stomachs, and he found significant changes to the rats' stomachs. What he found was increased cell growth. It's called hyperplasia, mm-hmm. which is a precursor to dysplasia, which is a precursor to cancer, by the way, Carl.
Right.
And he also found in the intestinal lining disruption of these little finger-like projections called villi, super important for absorption of nutrients. Those little, they look like a towel is what they actually look like. And they were disrupted. When I saw those slides, it's called histopathology slides, a light bulb went off for me. And I said, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. All of those tummy issues I was seeing with kids, could this be caused by this disruption by genetically modified food that was introduced in the U.S. in 1996? 10 years later, I'm seeing a plethora of cases that start with the gut. Remember, integrative healing, we start with the gut. All these kids were having the gut issues that we started to allude to earlier in this show, and I started making changes and testing then, and my practice has never been the same. So that was one of the key cornerstone studies for me, and that was in 2006. And I can give you more, but I can give you that one to start.
And that's an important one. Anybody who has a child on the spectrum knows that they all have gut problems. There's certain foods that they just won't eat because it causes them such terrible stomach distress.
Absolutely. You know, I do a lot of things to when I treat children. I'm not just changing their diet to organic, which is the first thing I do. I often take out foods that are inflammatory, like mm-hmm. gluten and dairy, and mm-hmm. we don't need to go into that. I'm sure you have shows on gluten and dairy that you've covered already, Carl. But those foods are inflammatory, both systemically and for the brain, and they act a lot like opioids. And kids, particularly kids on the spectrum, when you remove those inflammatory foods and change your diet, they get better. Their brain inflammation goes down. So this is an important thing, and it's all linked. It's not just one thing, Carl. There are many things. So kids with any kind of neurologic challenges from autism to ADHD to behavioral outbursts, sleep disorders. I ask parents to go organic and take them off gluten and dairy. It's one of the things I do. I want to give your listeners a little something that they might want to try at home if they can't find practitioners like us. Obviously, they're going to read the book, but they can start doing some things at home. There's hope here, Carl. We can make some changes.
Yes, yes. Good, good. So one of the things I want to point out was a study that we talked about on this show 3 years ago that looked at what can only be called stomach distension. There is an increase in the girth of the population without an in-concert increase in body fat accumulation. So what they're saying is that people's guts are starting to stick out in and of themselves. This is probably from the inflammatory response that you just pointed to, because I see ever lean people who look like they're pregnant. I mean, guys, this distended stomach is one of the new benchmarks of our population. And when you talk about the intestines becoming inflamed, the gut becoming inflamed as the beginning of this whole process, this goes way beyond children. This goes into the adult population,
too.
There's
so many adults now with something called IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. So many people, the first thing when I ask them, what would you like me to help you with, they say bloating. And that bloating is probably caused by the intestinal inflammation that we talked about, the leaky gut, imbalance of microbes, which then causes a lot of gas production, and the food they're eating, because their stomach acid is off, they don't have enough digestive enzymes, they're not extracting nutrients, that food is not being processed right.
Right.
And it's causing lots of gas and distension. And so that was another study. If you want to really shock your audience, they should go look at Google Images and pull up Howard Vlieger, the gentleman, the farmer that you interviewed, and Judy Carman's work.
Yeah.
And when they looked at pig intestine, that's very similar to ours, and pig stomachs, after eating genetically modified food, the amount of redness, which is the hallmark of inflammation, is profound. And you can, again, see it in there and just grossly looking at it. So, yes. When
it was the GM
the
soy.
We
actually had Howard and the author. She was from Australia, as I recall.
Right.
We had them on the show when they published that. And in 6 weeks of not feeding the genetically modified soy, the stomachs normalized in the rest of the animals in the study. But I want to go on the record of saying something, okay? And maybe this is where people go, wow, this guy's a little bit more moderate than some of the other people out there. I don't think that genetically modified foods are necessarily evil intrinsically. I think that there are some things that we could use genetic modifications for, but any genetic modification needs to be studied long term before it's put out into the population. But more importantly, the number one reason for genetic modifications today is not to make food more healthy for the person eating it. It's to make the manufacturing process less expensive and have less waste. And actually, we did the show with Washington State, a great land grant university, where we showed that the actual yield of bushels of soy on an acre of genetically modified versus conventional soy is like 2 bushels. But the expense is much higher because today you've got to spray so much more glyphosate because the weeds are getting stronger. They're undergoing evolution too. And so the fallacy that it's cheaper to grow GMO is farmers all around the world, they know that's nonsense. That's what Monsanto keeps telling people to keep the message flowing forward. But the reality is it's more expensive to grow genetically modified crops. So there is zero benefit from these crops. They're not good for people. They're not good for farmers.
Yeah, there's actually the National Academies of Science and Technology and Medicine have actually coming out with reports now that talk about the fact that GM crops and GM technologies haven't actually helped farmers financially,
right,
especially when you add in all the fertilizer cost and cost of the seeds every year and that sort of thing. But you know, you're bringing up a lot of issues, and one, the point about not being against genetic modification technologies universally is an important one. And I think especially for medical professionals, it's important to remember that a lot of the genetic modification techniques that are being used in biomedicine are quite useful,
right,
and important. The point is that they get tested on human subjects, and they're never approved until they've been through that process. The truth is that for plants that have been genetically modified, they have never been tested on humans, and we definitely need that. The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, when we're, you know, Michelle's talking about the early study by Arpad Pusztai, well, that genetic modification never made it to market. They didn't actually market it. But what he found in doing that study was that, in fact, it wasn't the BT, it was the modification, the lectin that was put in, but the process of doing the genetic modification that seemed to have the impact on the gut. And that's what Judy Carman's work and Howard Vlieger's work followed up on, is that there are three possible ways that the genetic modification in plants is actually impacting human guts. One is the process itself. When you inject a gene in, you can't be certain about what kind of new proteins are being created. We just don't know enough about that. And one thing that may be happening is those proteins are disrupting gut function. The other is the increase in use in pesticides, and particularly herbicides, not necessarily insecticides, and the increase in absorption and ingestion of insecticides in human bodies that have a direct impact on the gut, as we talked about earlier. The third may be the actual proteins, like the BT toxin, that are put in. And again, we just need more studies on these.
And so, you know, this is a good point that Vincent's making, Carl. And Belinda Martineau, she is a genetic researcher out of UC Davis. She was the designer of the Flavor Saver tomato. And they pulled that off the market because she found the development of all these rogue proteins that were a sequelae of the genetic modification process. Now you say, well, what's the problem with all these proteins? Many of them are new that we've never seen. Well, there is a problem. A lot of them are allergenic. They cause allergies. And which ones they cause, it's not often clear. And this can be another link as to why so many people, particularly children, have this exponential rise in food allergies right now. 40% of American kids may have food allergies. The issue is shocking. Schools are required now to carry the EpiPens that you referred to earlier. So these rogue proteins that we're now seeing are likely responsible for causing this massive increase in food allergies. Having food allergies is not a benign process. Let's be clear. We treat it like, oh, he's allergic to peanuts, she's allergic to dairy, I have a lactose problem. You hear this every day.
Right.
Is it benign? No, it's not.
Because if you're activating your immune system all the time, the inflammatory process goes up. Also, turnover of immune cells isn't infinite. We have stem cells feeding it, but the reality is that's what AIDS is. You run out of immune cells to actually reproduce and create your immune system. So they're not finite, or they are finite. And the idea of turning them over faster and faster just because you want to eat something that isn't good for you is silly. You know, I mean, people live with the stuffy nose. I get it. All. I have a friend. I was just in New York, upstate New York, visiting a guy I haven't seen in 30 years. And he makes a fantastic dish called scungili. It's an Italian dark red sauce. And scungili is conch. It's like a giant snail. And my other friend, who happens to be of Polish descent, says, I love this stuff. He says, but when I eat it, I got to stay home for 2 days because I can't get far away from the bathroom. And I said to my friend Steve, I said, why would you eat something that makes you that violently sick? He says, because it tastes so good. And that was the moment I realized that, you know, whenever we stepped up and started seasoning things and creating taste, this is where everything went to hell. I mean, we have a protein powder that we thought we were going to sell into the bariatric community because it was so great. It didn't taste sweet enough for them. So this whole notion of taste is really intriguing to me. When did we become gastronomists where, you know, we went from eating a bison that we just killed and cooked over an open flame to somebody going, hey, if you chop up some garlic and some parsley and mix it in there, it really tastes better. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, taste is everything now. It's really baffling to me.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I love to watch some of these cooking shows like Top Chef, and they rarely talk about nutrition. It's all about taste.
Yeah.
And I say when you cook, it should be nutrition first, and second is taste. Because all these herbs and spices we use in our cooking all have medicinal qualities. Garlic is one of the best antibiotics I know. Some of the best antibiotics are rosemary and thyme and various herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Curcumin, which is turmeric in Indian cooking, is one of the best anti-inflammatories, one of the best anti-cancer herbs there is. So herbs and spices have evolved with food to be used for medicinal purposes, and that's how food should be. Let food be thy medicine, right?
Yeah.
Hippocrates said that 5,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is part of our message in the book. It's this kind of, it's not part of the elite. It's not just this,
farm-to-table kind of movement. It's really all of us getting back in the kitchen and making our food from the best local organic ingredients that we can as a family enjoyable process. And that's part of it, that this should be fun, that people can actually change their diets and have fun with it. It's not just mom in the kitchen anymore. It's everybody in the kitchen, getting the little kids in there as well. They can chop and peel, and it becomes food shifts to what it used to be, and I think what it still is in some countries in Europe, maybe like France or Italy. And so that is part of it as well, that this change in diet does not have to be punitive, but joyful.
And by the way,
I want to add too,
go ahead, please,
you know, there's this whole argument in the Michael Pollan crowd about nutrition being a part of the problem, that we focus too much on nutrition instead of on real foods. But even in that area, you seldom get the debate about organic versus non-organic. In fact, many people studiously avoid it because it's so controversial. And it's important to remember that even if you're eating for nutrition, you're also eating organic. You're trying to get rid of that. I also wanted to go back to the wheat issue because you talked about your is eating a lot of pasta, and I see this all the time too. People who are eating a heavy dose of pasta, we know wheat is not genetically modified. It hasn't, they're developing it, but it hasn't been designed yet. So that we're not eating GM wheat, but what we are eating is wheat that we believe is getting a high level of glyphosate sprayed on it.
Yeah, they, and at a critical time, they're doing it. We've actually done a show about that. I actually brought the Monsanto book in that tells farmers to spray it right before they harvest it because it synchronizes the crop. It kills everything all at once.
Yeah, but even if you go beyond that, we know that wheat has very interesting effects on the gut, and people who do research on leaky gut syndrome and celiac disease are documenting all of this, and one of the things that we postulate is that when you've got a compromised gut and you're eating a lot of wheat on top of it, even if it's organic wheat, you might be creating a problem for yourself because of the compromise in your gut, because you're creating more porous boundaries and creating a leaky gut.
Right, right.
What happens is that wheat isn't broken down, and those proteins in the wheat, gluten and gliadin, they're not completely broken down because the gut is so leaky and perhaps the patient doesn't have enough stomach acid to break it down. So they get into the bloodstream before they're completely broken down. They travel right up into the brain, across the blood-brain barrier. There's no, like, you know, cement wall up there. Everything gets through, and they activate the receptors that are opioid-like receptors, and they produce a high. That's why people will say, I can't give up bread. I love bread. Love, a chemical reaction. Folks have a chemical reaction to gluten, to bread, to dairy, causes a similar reaction, opioid-like reaction, and we think there's one for soy as well. So food is chemistry. Foods cause reactions in your brain, and these are hard to change. They're addictions. If you stop eating gluten, what I tell my parents and I tell the kids, it takes them, for some people, around 2 weeks. If you stop eating it, you lose the taste for it.
Yeah.
But it gets better.
Yeah. Okay, so where can people get the book? Where should they get the book?
They can get it at ChelseaGreen.com, our wonderful publisher. They can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it should be in the bookstores by now as well, their local bookstores.
Okay, and plug websites. Do either of you, do you both have websites, separate websites? Do you have one website?
The book is going to be advertised on the GMO Science website, and otherwise we just have the book website for the press.
Okay. All right. This is a really important book, whether or not people are going to pick up on it. Have you done any of the more mainstream shows yet?
Not yet. We're optimistic. There are a couple things in the hopper, Carl. We'd love to get out there on some mainstream and really have people out there who can't get to the book, who can't get to docs like me, who can't listen to Dr. Adams speak. She teaches here at UCSF in the Department of Medical Anthropology. So if you can't get to all that, we're really hoping to get mainstream Americans who are dying for this information. People want it, and we'd love to get it into the hands of people who really need it.
Yeah, because really, so this show is listened to by an audience of highly intelligent, critical thinking people who probably already are in some way, shape, or form feeding their children a diet that's appropriate for their child. I don't see a lot of people in this audience having light bulbs going off and going, "Oh man, I didn't know that." You know, but the reality is that this message needs to get out to the people who watch the Today Show and Good Morning America, because these are the people that are at the greatest risk. These are the sick populations. These are the people who can't figure out why everybody in their family has an autoimmune disorder and they're believing that the only way out is a biologics. This book needs to get out into the mainstream, because those are the people who are mounting, the bodies that are mounting with illness today. And their children are the ones that are getting diagnosed with cancer at 6 years old.
Right. So, you know, our hope is that even though your listeners may already be doing a lot of good things for their health and may be already convinced of a lot of these things, I'm sure that they encounter friends and neighbors, yes, and even family members who, again, roll their eyes at the fact that they're being overly careful with their children's diet or with their own diet. And so this book is sort of like a backstop, you know, a weapon that they can give out to other people.
Yes.
A convincing argument that if they don't want to take their word for it, they can read this book and be convinced, hopefully.
Absolutely. And that's why I said buy this as a stocking stuffer for your family, because chances are a lot of people in your family don't listen to the show. Buy it for your pediatrician, because chances are your pediatrician needs to have this message a dozen times before they're going to go, maybe I should pay attention to this. That we need to help educate the other people so that we are served properly. So I agree with you 100%. I commend you for writing this book. I really do. And Howard Vlieger is a great guy. Anything he sends me, I'm always paying attention, because he's been shown to be right about a lot of things so many times now. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
he has been one of my heroes and my role models, and he works on all fronts, from the farm to Sacramento. Hats off always to Howard.
Fighting the good fight.
Thank you for being on the show today, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Carl. Happy
holidays.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back.
I really feel strongly about this book. I feel strongly about this message. You know, being a father and having children, and you understand that you want the best for your children. You want them to be healthy. You don't want them to have diseases. You want them to make good decisions in life. You want them to be successful, fall in love, have children, and live a wonderful life. And I don't think any parent knowingly makes their child sick. But they unknowingly do it. And that's even more important. Because if you know what to do and what not to do, and you do the right thing, your child is going to fare better. But if you don't know, if you're being told lies, and you're following those lies, and you're making your child sick, you should be really, really, really pissed off at the people lying to you. And that's really how I feel about our government and industry today. You know, I've said it a long time ago that our government and industry are like conjoined twins that share a heart. In order to separate one of them has to die. And no one wants to die. So they just stay merrily together. I watch these TV shows where they're talking about cancer institutes and they have these children that undergoing chemotherapy, the poor little kids. They, you know, they have no hair. They're sickly looking. Chemo is knocking the heck out of them. Would any parent knowingly make their child sick? Of course not. But are parents doing things that may be exposing their children to genetic weaknesses that end up becoming cancers? Absolutely. And if they knew the truth, would they do it? Absolutely not. So getting the truth out there is really the answer here. Not allowing it to be squelched by the mainstream message spinners. Book like this, What's Making Our Children Sick? It's just one portion of it. There's a lot. I mean, letting your children stay up late at night into the, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they get up at 6 a.m. to go to school, like, just because it's easier not to fight with them and get them to go to bed. Like, that's contributing to a lot of diseases, obesity, and God knows what else, hormonally. So there's a lot more to it, but this is an important part of the discussion, and this is something that doctors can all look at and go, yeah, we need to stop that. We need to start talking to our patients about it. But they probably don't know either, because they're being told the same lies through the mainstream. So it's important that we pass the message. That is where our evolutionary gifts can be passed on, by giving the right information that leads to greater health and longevity of future generations. That's all we have to pass on. That's it. Okay, so tomorrow is Tuesday. We have a great show planned tomorrow. Of course, we start off with the Blueprint Power Hour. We have good shows the whole week. I hope you can tune in live. If you can't, there's always the podcast. And don't forget, many of you may have forgotten, but we still have Patreon. If you want commercial-free episodes of Superhuman Radio, it's just $5 a month. $5 a month. The cost of a cup of boutique coffee. Commercial-free versions. I have a lot of people who tell me, but we like the commercials. We like the products. We want to learn new products. So, hoping to bring you some new sponsors at the beginning of the year. We're working on that now. But if you do want a commercial-free version, go over to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. Search for Superhuman Radio and subscribe for $5 a month. And you have your own player and everything, and there's no commercials. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.